We're talking about faith reminders. Okay, now listen to this right here. It's not the messenger, it's the message. 2 weeks ago, one of the ways I could have titled our sermon was why we've had trouble holding on to people. Why we've had trouble holding on to people. That could have been the title of our Bible lesson 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to tie it in today with this truth. It's not the messenger, it's the message. Let me give you some other verses, then we'll get into it. If you're going to talk about faith, it's impossible for you not to finally get over to Mark chapter 11. Can I get some kind of an amen or an oh me on that? It's impossible to talk about faith and not eventually get over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, in verse 12, it says, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." Who's he there? Who's the he there? Who was hungry? Jesus is fully God and fully man. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We went back to Sun Valley Christian Church last week and heard a magnificent sermon, one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard about grace relative to communion. And she emphasized the fact that Jesus was fully God and fully man. So he knows what it's like to be hungry, right? Now, to back up what we're going to teach, let's find out about this person. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It wouldn't hurt us all to say that. It also wouldn't hurt you to have that one committed to memory. Let's say it out loud. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God." He was in the beginning with God. He was God. And then verse 18 says this, "No one has seen God the Father at any time." No one has seen God the Father at any time. "The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He has made him known. He has revealed him. So whatever we're going to learn out of Mark chapter 11, we're learning this information about God. God, the Lord Jesus, fully God and fully man, is giving us instructions on how to get things to work for you relative to God. What's one of the hardest things for human beings to do? Follow instructions. Who's the first people that messed it up first? Adam and Eve. They couldn't follow the instructions. You weren't supposed to eat from that tree. It's hard to follow instructions. Especially when you find out, listen to me very carefully, especially when you find out that the instructions have something to do with you. We've got story after story to tell, but we went camping one time with Ernie Barwick and his family. Me and Teresa went camping one and only time with Ernie Barwick and his family, and we were in the process of putting our tent up. And anyway, long story short, we finally got in the tent, and we were sleeping, and we realized that the thing wasn't zipped up. And so I got up and I said, "Teresa," I said, "you mean we've got to blankety blank zip the thing?" See, that instructions aren't nearly as much fun when you find out that you have a part to play. Okay? I had to get up and zip that thing up. That was my last night in a tent. No. Anyway, Mark chapter 11, stay with me now, verse 12, pick it up here. I want you to see something. I'm going to follow in my Bible. "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." Again, who's he? God, the Word, the revealer of Almighty God, the person that you ought to go to if you call yourself a Christian for instruction. Right? Isn't that right? Verse 13, bad day. Verse 13, "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it." Now, we all know that these whacked out politicians is ruining our country. Let me say this to some of y'all young people out there. There's a real good possibility you guys are going to be experiencing a war. And don't think that it's because God's grace has been on America. No. God's grace is not on people that are trying to mutilate our children. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. God's grace is on His children. God's grace is on His children. God's wrath is on people that aren't His kids. Again, that does not mean that He specifically is bringing bad to them. It's a matter of reaping what you sow when you turn your back on the living God. Y'all see that? So it's very possible that it could get worse and worse. And how did that relate to what we were talking about? Politicians. These politicians, this group that's up there now, they're all concerned that we're going to destroy the environment. Don't think for a minute. They don't care nothing about the... Actually, let me say this, though. They do love trees more than they love people. See? They do love... They say they do, but they don't really love anybody but themselves. Don't shout me down now. Okay? You know, they're telling you that the climate's... You know, we're going to all... The Arctic Ocean's going to dry up and everything like that. Well, Jesus finds a tree that doesn't have any leaves on it. And He's not happy about it. You know why He's not happy about it? Because He created that tree. He made all things. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. You with me? And then here's what He does in verse 14. And then I want to put things up. Here's what He does in verse 14. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Everybody see that? And His disciples heard it. Must mean that He said it with His mouth and He spoke to the object. He spoke to the tree. He spoke to the tree that nobody would ever eat fruit from you ever again. So there's three kinds of unbelief. Lack of knowledge, unbelief is the first kind of unbelief. What's the cure for lack of knowledge, unbelief? Get knowledge. Get knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Second kind of unbelief is wrong doctrine, unbelief. And then the third kind of unbelief is which one? Natural unbelief. So let's talk about this story about the fig tree and let's see how unbelief works and why. It's not the messenger, it's the message. Now, most of us in this room, I believe, understand that God's for you, right? So most of us in this room, you have already overcome lack of knowledge, unbelief, because you have the right information. God's not out to get you. Say that, everybody. God's not out to get me. So you know that information. So then you've bypassed wrong doctrine information. So then what you're going to be left to deal with is a thing called natural unbelief. You're going to have to be able to overcome what your five physical senses say to you, and you're going to have to put the Word of God first. Amen. Again, those are instructions that are going to be given by the Creator of the universe. It's not the messenger, because I'm the one giving you the message. I'm the messenger. And for many years, people wanted to blame the messenger. But it's not the messenger. It's the message. People find out that there's something they got to get involved with. There's something they got to do. And so rather than deal with what they've got to do, they revert back to some doctrines that have been presented to them by doctrines of devils and demons that tells them they have no responsibility. Can I get an amen? And again, I have tried desperately since 2012 to refocus my message so that we always incorporate the fact that everything that we're talking about was given to us by the grace of God. And the reason why we're able to overcome is not because of some super fragilistic, expialidocious thing on our part. It's because God, in His grace, has empowered us to go out and do good and heal people who are sick by the devil. All right, so back to Mark 11. And the Holy Spirit did this on purpose. So in verse 14, He said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again," and His disciples heard it. Now they go in. Now at this moment, now Matthew tells you that as soon as He said this, it dried up from the roots. But as soon as He said it right then, the fig tree just looked like a fig tree. And they walk on into Jerusalem, and He ministers. Now, I'm not going to talk about that part of it. And then we go to verse 19. In the morning, he's hungry, by the way. In the morning, what did he do with the fig tree? What did he do when he saw the fig tree didn't have any figs on it? He says, you poor thing. These environmentalists are going to destroy you. Huh? I'm telling you. Don't you worry about not having any figs. No, that's not what he said. I wanted figs. You didn't have them. Sorry. Okay? They go into Jerusalem. He ministers. Verse 19. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now, I don't know, because I wasn't there, and the writers don't tell us, but I don't know that if evening comes, if it's dark. But most of the time when you refer to evening, is it normally dark or dusk, right? So it's quite possible that they've walked by this fig tree in the dark, and they don't know what's going on with it. Or it could be that they walk past it and see it, and no visible changes happen. Possible, right? Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They see physical, visible evidence that what Jesus said to the fig tree happened. Right? In verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. In verse 22, now if I was Jesus, you're going to like this, and I hope y'all will be honest about yourself as well. I don't want to be the only one up here that's... If I was Jesus, after Peter had said to me, look at there, that fig tree that you cursed is dried up from the roots. I'd have said, yeah, I'm something, ain't I? Man, I'm something. I'm amazing. What else can I do today to impress you? I mean, we're watching a lot of sports. I don't watch as much, but I watch some. And boy, I tell you, one of the things that's an epidemic, especially in the NBA, the National Basketball Association, is self-glorification of making a good play. Hey, if you're making $50 million a year, you ought to be able to make a three-pointer. Amen or oh me. If you're making $50 million, you ought to be able to throw a football 75 yards. Jesus doesn't say that, does he? So Jesus answered and said to them, say it with me. So Jesus answered and said to them,
have faith in God.
Three kinds of unbelief. Lack of knowledge. They're getting ready to get the knowledge. Wrong doctrine. We're going to find out whether or not people have the right doctrine or the wrong doctrine based on this little Bible lesson. And then overcoming natural unbelief. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Next verse. Verse 23, let's dissect it. Now, here's the first thing we need to realize. For assuredly I say to you, here's the first thing we need to realize. For assuredly I say to you, say that next word. It's not the messenger, it's not the messenger. What makes people mad is the message. See, what makes people mad is this doesn't fit what I was told my whole life. This doesn't fit. You mean to tell me that I can have faith in God and I can overcome obstacles in my life? Yes, I'm telling you that. You mean to tell me that God didn't purpose this into my life and bring this stuff into my life so that somehow or another it would teach me the right and wrongs of his purpose in my life? No. No. We're going to talk about it. We'll talk about it. We've got to figure out what is that mountain. You with me? For assuredly I say to you, whoever. Well, everybody out there is a whoever. You know what? I'm impressed to say this. You know, some of us are white whoevers. I'm impressed to say this because this is another thing I want to talk about. Christian people aren't racist. If you don't want somebody to come into your congregation because of their skin color, you are racist. That's the definition of racism. If you only want your daughter to marry somebody of a certain skin color, you're racist. Oh, I touched on some toes now. Now, listen, if he comes in with purple hair, I may change my mind on what I just said. But you know, it's white whoever's, it's black whoever's, it's Hispanic whoever's. Who else we got out here? Anybody else? It's Scandinavian whoever's. Where y'all, you're from up in that part of the country, aren't you? Dr. Kukar, where are you from? Slovakia? Whoever's. Puerto Rican, whoever's. White trash, whoever's. Bisbeeites. It'll even work in Bisbee. It'll work in Bisbee. Whoever says to this mountain. Now listen, let me read it and then let's come and talk about it. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, everybody say, but believes. But believes that those things he says will be done. They haven't happened yet. See, they'll be done when you say they'll be, when you say they're going to happen, or when you speak to it, it'll be done. And it may take a certain amount of time for you to see the manifestation of it, but you believe it as soon as you say it. Yeah. Say that with me. I believe it. As soon as I say it. It's not the messenger. It's the message. Because smart people have come here. We've had some dumb people too. Let's be sincere about it. Smart people have come here and they've figured out what I'm actually saying. And what I'm actually saying is that that mountain doesn't get moved until you start talking to it. That mountain doesn't get moved till you start talking to it. And they get smart enough to think, wait a minute, now that minister over there, he told me that that mountain was there because God put it there. See, if you think God put that mountain there, you're never going to speak to the mountain. And if you don't know cancer's a mountain, then you don't know God. You don't know the God of the Bible. Jesus went about healing sick people, not making people sick. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, you got to know what the mountain is. And then you got to know that God didn't put the mountain there. And that's what's wrong with wrong doctrine, unbelief. And that's what's wrong with Christian music. They're inferring that everything is wrapped in some mystic cosmic plan that God has for you. But if it's bad, it's the devil. If it's good, it's God. Thank you. I finally got a delayed amen over here. Amen. And I don't know, for whatever reason, see, they can't get mad at God. They can, but they won't act like they are. And, you know, so they'll take it out on the messenger. But it's not the messenger. It's the message. I'm not consciously mean to anybody that I know of. You know, I don't think I've ever consciously been mean to anybody that's come into this church. But what they get mad about is what I have to tell them. But if you really figure out what I'm saying, and you understand that I'm putting myself right where you are, and that I'm telling you that it's going to be a challenge all the days of your life to walk by faith, that it's not easy, and that's the reason why I know very few people stick it out, but I'm telling you that by the grace of God, we have the capacity to remove mountains out of our lives. And as long as some minister's telling you that God put that mountain there, he has crippled you. He has paralyzed you. He has made you do the will of Satan. That's what he's making you do when you don't resist the things the devil has to offer. Resisting the things the devil has to offer is sickness and depression and poverty and strife. And I mean, let's talk, you know, any of the things you talk about that's bad. Isn't that something? And yet, you know what? And you know I'm telling you this stuff, and you know it's right. And you almost have to apologize for saying it to people. But it's no different than what's going on in our society. They're after us. They're after Christian people. See? And you can take it down into different layers. See, they're after general Christians in general in the world. But there are Christian people in Christendom that are after Christian people. They're after Christian people who are saying things they don't want to hear. They want to get things that please them, that appeal to them, that take them off the hook. That woman that you gave to be with me, she's the reason why we messed up. Can I get an amen? Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he said. What he said in the present will become a reality in the future if he believed what he said in the present. Somebody said, I don't want to come to this kind of church. This is a whole lot like calculus. You see what I'm saying? Vast majorities of people just go to church for ceremony. Now, they're getting a lot of those people. Sun Valley Christian Church and those kind of churches are getting a lot of those people because people want more than that. The common people are clamoring for somebody to give them reality. Folks, you're lied to every single second of every single day. If you turn your TV on, you're being lied to. If you're watching a sitcom that's not have its roots in God, you're being lied to. Me, I understand. I realize it. You know, I'm watching the NCAA basketball tournament, and all the commercials lie to me. Every one of them's lying to me. But he didn't lie. He's not a liar. He's the creator. He made us. I mean, let's just be, here's where I'm at. Let's just be somewhat mature enough to embrace this reality if it never works. Don't allow your circumstances to override this truth. I don't care what happened in your life, if it was bad, if it had its roots in sin, if it was something that didn't bring honor to God, God didn't do it. Amen. I think that's kind of fun, right? Now notice the concept here. Notice that there's two things here that have to be working. The heart and the mouth. Now none of us have much trouble with our mouth working. Me either. You ever have something come out and all of a sudden you're like, oh, can I get it? Come on. I didn't mean that, Teresa. No. I did mean it, Jordan. Apologize to my kids. Amen. Two things. See, notice what's going on here. Notice, does not doubt where? Come on, does not doubt where? That's not the blood pump. Now, here's something I'm going to say to you. And I'm going to say something to you, and this is probably going to cause some of you to be a little, I don't know what you'll be, but my mission in life has been to determine what does God mean by the heart? Because it's with the heart one believes. The heart consists of two things, two parts. There's two parts to your heart. Say that with me. There's two parts to my heart. You didn't know you were a psalmist, did you? One part of your heart is your spirit. The other part of your heart is your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. In my search for the reality of this truth, because Jesus didn't, and by the way, see, the reality of this truth is confirmed in John 3:16. See, the reality of this truth is confirmed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul takes it over to Romans and tells you that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. Amen? Y'all see that? The heart is two parts. The spirit that's complete, that's perfect, that's made in the image and likeness of God, that'll never be changed, that's sealed by the Holy Spirit, and then the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions that have to be dealt with all the days of our lives. Your mind never quits working. Your emotions are always at some place. Are you with me? So I don't know. Here's what I'm going to say to you. I've discussed it with my wife. I don't know when he says heart, does he mean spirit and soul? Because if he means you got to believe it with your spirit, which is easy because faith's already there. But if he means you got to believe it with your mind, your will, and your emotions, oh, it's not the messenger, it's the message. Sorry, Charlie, only good-tasting tuna get to be star-kissed. How many of you go back to that commercial? Amen. Does he mean the mind, the will, and the emotions? Does it mean that you gotta believe it with the totality of your heart? I'm starting to think the older I get, the answer is yes. Now, the only possible way that you can get your mind, your will, and your emotions to stay in line with what your spirit's already lined up with is you'd have to spend some real good quality time with the person you're having your faith toward. Come on, this is so good. See, you hear that? And I know I use this illustration, but it's a good illustration. You know, Jordan was involved in baseball when he was a youngster. He's 21. He turned 21 on Thursday. And he didn't get interested in it until he was about 8 or 9. He didn't want to do T-ball, which I don't blame him. Stand up there and hit the ball on the tee. Huh. And then you got to act like it's an accomplishment. Oh, way to go, Johnny. You should do that when you're 2. Boom. He comes to me and he says, Mark, Dad, I need a ball glove. Now, my mother would say this, go use Smitty's. And I would say to Mama, but Smitty's right-handed. She'd say, learn how to use it. That's what's called being born in a middle-class family where the most important thing you bought for your family was food. And after food, then you would get some extras. Jordan wasn't raised in that kind of a family. He's been sheltered. So if I told him, son, I'm going to get you a glove on Friday. We're going to go down and I don't know where we're in. Oh, we bought it at Dick's Sporting Goods, didn't we? And had that thing put in one of them ovens and had it where it was already set up for the ball to go in proper. Now, does he go to bed at night and does he toss and turn? And does he fret and say, man, I don't know. Wonder if Daddy's going to really get me a glove on Friday. Let me ask you this. Does he fret and say, you know, I've done some things that made Dad upset. Maybe he'll hold it against me. He won't give it to me. No. What's he do? He knows me. He trusts me. He knows he gets a glove on Friday. For us to believe something with our minds and our wills and our emotions, you got to get to a place where there's absolutely no doubt that that mountain wasn't placed there by God. And let me say this to you, and this is, I hope I'm being as genuine as I can be and as open as I can be here. There's people that have sit under this ministry for great lengths of time, but when the crisis of life comes, they don't fall back on this. I can't tell you how many people that I've ministered to in the last stages of their lives that sat in this church and listened to things that I had to say, and they fell back on wrong doctrine. Invariably, the word out of their mouth several times was, I don't know what I did in my life that God did this to me. And again, I'm just bringing it up for teaching purposes. And by then, it's too late. They went to heaven. They went to heaven. They knew Jesus. But see, they reverted back because it's in the recesses of our heart, man. It's in the recesses of our heart. It's the rotten, stinking, lying, murdering devil. There's no good thing in our flesh. Always trying to talk us into something bad about God. Always trying to make something bad about God. I tell you, God's coming back. I'm telling you, if he came down there, now listen, the grace of God is here as long as we're here. I want everybody to be clear on something. The grace of God is here as long as we're here. If they get up tomorrow and this group's all gone somewhere, they're in trouble. Amen. So he's coming back. If he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, what we're doing to our children and what our politicians are doing to our children and what they're doing when a woman, a transgendered woman, goes into a Christian school and kills 6 Christians and they try to make it the fault of the Christian, that is how sick our world and our society has gotten. They're evil and they're coming after us. They're coming after you. Because we're the only ones that have any sanity. We're the only ones that believe we're not God. We're the only ones that believe that there's a judge. And that there's certain things you can't get away with. Amen? But you got to get to a place in your life, not you, we have to get to a place in our lives where we seek the things of God and focus our mind on the things of God and say with our heart what we believe with our mouth. Say with our heart what we believe with our mouth. Oh, the Bible, Jesus, it's full of it in the Scriptures. It's full of truth that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's so evident that it's the heart that drives the circumstances of our lives. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And we're not taught this in church. We're taught some cosmic, ooey-gooey hypnosis thing that all this stuff is God's got you in his spell. And one morning he's going to wake up and get you out of that spell. But that spell never gets, you never get out of that spell because that's not God. That's not God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I got to get my heart and my mouth in agreement with God's word. So again, I've got to do it, which means you got to do it, which means we got to do it, which means some people don't want to hear the instructions. Okay? Now, you know what? After doing this for 26 years and being abused, see, I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I'm telling you, I have been abused. I have been talked about. I have been bad-mouthed. I have been lied upon, and specifically because of the message that I present. Are you listening to me? It's the truth. Specifically because of the mess. And in the past, I took it way too personal. I did. I took it way too personal. And it's still, I'm not going to lie, there's still moments where you think, man, why wouldn't more people want to hear this even if we don't accomplish it? Even if we don't accomplish it, I want to hear that God didn't do it. I want to know, bless God, it is true that God is love. It is true. Listen, these people have the grace message down at Sun Valley Christian Church. They got it down. But see, I take it one little step further. And I think more people like Andrew Womack, people like that, we take it a little step further. And that is, if Romans 8:32 says that if God didn't spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, I don't close the door just to get to heaven. Although, thank God, heaven's the most important door to go in. But I want to leave the door open so that we can kick the devil in the mouth every now and then for the glory of God because of what Jesus Christ did. We're celebrating Good Friday. It'll be Friday. What he did and went on that cross and shed his blood. And I heard a minister talking, and I agree with her somewhat, but I'm going to tell you something. When they nailed those nails into his hands, it hurt. When they put those nails into his feet, it hurt. When the Roman soldiers whipped his back, it hurt. But that in and of itself is not why you're free. Because other men have had nails put in their hands. Other men have had nails put in their feet. Other men have been whipped by a whip. But no other man had the divine love of Almighty God and the divine blood of Almighty God, so that when that blood was shed, it was shed for the remission of all the sins ever committed. There's my Easter message. Real quick. But like I told you before, Easter Sunday, it's Easter every Sunday at a born-again Spirit-filled church. Y'all see that? Heart and mouth. Say heart and mouth. Put it on your refrigerator. Heart and mouth. It's with the heart I eat that donut. It's with the mouth I digest it. And it's with the stomach that it's revealed. On a rare occasion, I talked about this truth, this true story. Did you know that the abuse of food kills more people than cigarettes and alcohol? Again, see, people, these are just facts. See, nobody wants facts. You can't get facts on TV. There's no facts being told. But did you know that more people are in bad health because of the abuse of food? And, of course, if you look at me, you know I can't be judging anybody. I've got a little something, a little punt, you know, not a little something, something, you know. But I talk about it very, on one occasion. You know, a lady got to me at the end of the church service. I don't even know which building we were in. Time flies. And she said, I won't be back. And I said, well, how come? She said, because you made fun of fat people. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just come to church and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord. No. I mean, isn't it our responsibility to be able to speak the truth in love and to grow whereby you receive the truth and grow thereby? Receive with meekness the implanted word. Amen. And then understand that, and I think people can see this more clearly on me now than in the past. Understand that I'm fighting the same fight you're fighting. I'm in the same world you're in. I've had some successes and I've had failures. Amen. And that nobody's up here trying to present myself like I've arrived. I tell you what I did with these principles more than anything was to make a good living. I made a good living by operating these principles. And that in and of itself isn't wrong, but you got to be careful that good living don't take the place of good loving. And again, an amen. And that's why we kind of disconnected, both of us disconnected from an overemphasis on prosperity and self-indulgence. Everything that happens in our lives should be because of the same thing that David said when he slew that giant. The same reason that David said, because who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to take him down because he's reproaching Israel. It's not because I want to be glorified. It's because I want God to be glorified. Amen. I'm talking about what David said. I hope that's my motive as well. Certainly, I can't be my motive to keep saying these things to people because I'm trying to attract a crowd. That's pretty obvious. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 24. I can't believe it, but I'm almost done. Verse 24. And we're going to talk about, we're going to have communion next Sunday and take us through the Easter story. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Say that out loud. Come on. Now, again, these instructions are spoken from the lips of who? Who spoke these words? Jesus. Everybody's kind of scared. Which one does he want me to say? Jesus, the Word, God. Which one does he want? For the love of God, Chris, which one do you want? I'll say Jesus. Who said these words? What's the Bible say he did? Who was he? Who was he? He was God and he created all things. He's given instructions. It's not the messenger, it's the message. The instructions are, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them when you pray. See, I put that in my Bible. Believe that you receive them when you pray. You got to believe you receive them when you pray. See how people love this? Oh, they just love that. Oh, hit me again. Hit me again. What was that? What was that where you'd get hit again? Wasn't that a show? Hit me again. I don't know. Hit me one more time. You got to believe you receive. You were wondering. You got to believe you receive. Who gave the instructions? So don't get mad at me. And don't get mad at him. Not going to do you any good to get mad at him. And didn't do you any good to get mad at me. Doesn't do me any good to get mad at you. We just need to love each other and keep speaking the truth. And sooner or later, there will be people that will manifest this into their lives. So you talk to people and you say, did God hear your prayer? I sure hope so. Well, no. I sure hope so is not what he said. Yes, he heard my prayer. When did he hear it? When I prayed. Again, real quick, man, I'm going to leave faith reminders. Notice, here's another thing that causes calamity, causes shipwreck right here. You can't make this work for somebody else. You can't make them believe they receive when they pray. See, I had a lady get mad at us and quit here because her dad died of cancer. And she prayed and God didn't heal him. So she determined that it was God's will for him to die of cancer because God certainly would have answered all the prayers she ever prayed. And, you know, I started talking to her about the Father. You know what I found out about him? Two things. Number one, he wasn't even a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't heal non-Christians. But number one, he's not even a Christian. So before I'd get him healed of cancer, I'd get him saved. Because as soon as his spirit leaves his body, he's got no more cancer. So the first thing you want to do is focus on salvation. And then you have to understand that if he's just born again, or he's been trapped in wrong doctrine, unbelief his whole life, you can't believe for him. You can't make him believe what you believe. And I had to learn that the hard way. I caused a lot of strife and damage in my early Christian life because I was trying to get people to believe like I did, and you can't do it. I did this once before. I think there's five U's in there. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray, and you will have them later. So natural unbelief, you can see that there's going to be a period of time from believing you receive and having. See, there's going to be a certain period of time from believing you receive and having. Could be several reasons. The primary reason is it may take some time for your heart to get established to the truth. Okay? But in the meantime, what do you have to overcome from the time you believe you receive and from the time you have? Natural unbelief. Your five physical senses is going to tell you something completely different. If you got pain in the shoulder may stay painful. Are you listening to me? And by the way, this is not weird stuff. I've seen it manifest and work in my life on several occasions. But there's going to be a period of time where what God says in his word takes precedent over what you're feeling and over your circumstances and over whatever somebody else is telling you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. This leaves the babyhood state of Christianity, and this requires us to kind of take some responsibility for our lives and for our actions, and some people really don't want to have to do that, which is unfortunate because I think sooner or later we're all going to have to do it somewhere in our life because life will catch up with all of us, right? We had to go through that COVID-19 fiasco because we're in the world, so you got to stay ready. Something else is coming. My Lord, when I was growing up, you'd have a tornado every once in a while. There's tornadoes all over the South. And my Lord, devil, if you're going to put a tornado somewhere, don't put it down there amongst them Southern folk. Get over in Northeast somewhere. You know, I'm sort of joking. You know about that. Love does no harm to its neighbor. See, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You leave the vengeance to me. These people aren't going to get away with nothing. That lady that shot those kids, she didn't get away with nothing. Oh, my Lord. She's in total and complete darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you listening to me? And these lying politicians, they're not going to get away with it. They won't get away with it. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Paul told Timothy, sometimes it's in this life and sometimes it's not till the next one. Amen. I like that for myself. Woo! Therefore, I say to you, let's say it out loud. I don't know. It's just refreshing. Isn't that a refreshing thing to see? Isn't that refreshing a little bit? Let's say it out loud. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You know, the Lord impressed upon me something, and I want to see if I'm hearing from him. He said, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that people have some questions in their mind about this and that we should spend maybe one Sunday answering questions. Is that anybody that has the courage to raise their hand on that, or am I just out of line here? Huh? Okay, you got a hand up? Yeah, that's fine. How dare you? No. Because I can't cover everything, and you may have a really good, legitimate question. Let's do it like this. If you've got a question about this Faith Reminder series that went about, what did it go, about five Sundays? If you've got a question, won't you write it down, and at some point we'll deal with it publicly. And we won't have to give anybody's name or anything like that, because there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of gray areas in here. And there's gray areas that have caused people to step away from it. If you're listening by radio or internet, thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in. You've heard some things. Listen to me now. You've heard some things you've never, ever in your life heard in church. You've heard some things. You've heard that you're able to remove mountains if you can believe in your heart and say with your mouth what you believe with your heart, and you can receive answers to your prayer when you believe you receive them. And you can be saved the exact same way when you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that he rose from the dead for your justification. It's with the heart one believes. You got to believe that in your heart. So I'm telling you, Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead for your justification. So all you got to do is receive that. So say this with me. Say, Dear God,
I receive
into my life
the Lord Jesus
Christ.
I believe in my heart
that you raised him from the dead and that he is Lord.
By faith,
I'm now
a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
Man,
if you prayed that and you need a Bible, contact us, lifeinchristchurch.net, and we will get you a Bible and minister with you. We'd like to hear from you. Praise the Lord. Thank you.